to once again welcome everybody here. Are there any guests that need to be or would like to be introduced? There are. You can just stand. No? Well, we'd like to welcome everyone here anyways today. I guess we'll highlight a few announcements. The worship committee announcement number 3, we'd like to invite everyone to enjoy some foyer fellowship time during the summer. And we've tentatively planned them for the 22nd of June, so that's next Sunday, July 20th and August 17th. So we're looking for some volunteers to help with baking and with the setup and cleanup. And I have forgotten the sign-up sheets. They're at home where they do no good for next Sunday. So if you are able to help out, if maybe you could let me know in the back, or if you can give me a phone call, my name is there, Elizabeth Franz Workington, and let me know if you could help out. That would be wonderful. Also to note that Pastor Gary will be away this next week. So make sure to call the caregiving team if there's any spiritual needs that arise. And yeah, are there anybody else who wants to highlight an announcement or any sharing that they'd like to do? I think you can probably just come up here and share. No? Okay. Well, then I'd also like to notice the prayer requests and updates from Frank and Wanda Newfold. They're very appreciative of the visits and the kind thoughts and the prayers, and they're hoping that they'll be mobile soon. And then also the thanks from Netta Klein for the prayers and the visits and phone calls and the meals that she has received from the congregation. For the prayer of God's people, I'd like us to say the Lord's Prayer all together. But first I'm going to allow for some time of quiet prayer and reflection. So could you all bow with me for prayer? Father God, hear our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'd like to welcome the Imperial family up again.
on Father's Day, who did something special for your father this morning? Or gave him a present that he made in school or something like that? Right? I got a present that Astrid made in school this morning. And on Father's Day, I sometimes think about, I have a father too. He's not alive anymore, but I think about my father. And sometimes, anyone ever say, you look kind of like your dad? I don't want to gross here this morning. But he's like, well, this is, am I going to throw my coat? Okay. All these people will get a piece all of a sudden. But, I kind of look like my dad, and I can, and if I have a costume, I can put on, and you can imagine that I look just like my dad, circa 1986.
I don't look that funny. So, my dad... Oh, I think I hear myself. All right, there we go. He really liked tools. And one thing my dad taught me was how to use different tools. And so he taught me how to use the lawnmower to cut the grass. And he taught me how to use a hoe to weed the garden. And he taught me how to use a paintbrush to paint the barn. And any kind of tool that there was, he taught me how to use it so I could use it too. And my dad had one kind of tool that was his favorite kind of tool, that he had hundreds of this kind of tool. And now I have some of those. And his favorite kind of tool was a knife. And he had knives for everything. For butter knives, and what else would you need a knife for? Cutting wood, yeah. That's probably your main reason. And the reason he had so many knives was one of his favorite things to do was to carve wood. So he liked to carve wood, and I brought one of his knives along today because it has a leather case, so no one's going to cut themselves. But so he gave me lots of tools, and I have some of his tools that he used to have, and that is a knife. And knives can be, are knives good to play with? Knives are not good to play with. But are knives, can you do good things with a knife? Yes, you can do good things with a knife. So one of the things my dad taught me was how to use a knife safely without cutting myself, because that's important. That's, dads don't want their kids to cut themselves. And so my dad taught me how to use tools and how to use knives not to cut myself. And this is one of the things that my dad made that Astrid might recognize. And he made something like that with a knife, and that's familiar to you, because that is still, that looks kind of funny, hey? He likes to make funny faces. And that is still in Astrid's room now. That's where I got it from. So even though she doesn't have a grandpa, she still has something that her grandpa made. Careful, Jacob. And so today, we're talking about fathers, and who else do we sometimes call a father? Yeah? God. So, I don't have a father on earth anymore, but I still have a father, God, in heaven, and we all have God as our father for all of us in heaven. And just like God, or just like I kind of look like my father, especially when I wear these glasses, we all, in the Bible, it says we're all made in the image of God. So all of us, no matter how we look a little bit like God, and we can say, hey, are you related to God? And we can say yes, because we're all made in God's image. And there's all kinds of different fathers, but when I think of fathers, I think of my dad. So when I think of God being like a father, I think of God being kind of like my dad, who really liked tools. So just like God, or how my dad taught me to use different tools and how to use them, God gives us tools too that we can use to help out, because in hindsight, my dad taught me how to do a lot of things that made his life easier. He taught me how to use the lawnmower and how to use the weed the garden and paint things and do all kinds of stuff like that so I could help out in the house. And God gives us tools so we can help out our friends and our neighbors and help out the people in the church. And so that is something to remember on Father's Day, that just like we kind of look like our fathers sometimes, we're also made in the image of God. And just like our dads want us to be safe, God will protect us and keep us safe as well, and gives us tools to use to help our friends. All right, so let's say a prayer, and then we can go back to your parents. Dear God, thank you for a somewhat lovely day today, and thank you for our fathers and for our Father in heaven who loves us no matter what. Amen.
Vengo a decir, oh mi Salvador, que yo te amo a ti con el corazón. Te vengo a decir toda la verdad. Señor, te quiero, Señor. cantarle gozo y de paz. Yo quiero llorar, yo quiero llorar de felicidad. Te vengo a decir toda la verdad.
I'll be reading Psalm 103, verses 1 to 18. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
Okay, see if we have any better luck with the microphone. Is it on? Excellent. Thanks, honey. Let's take a minute to pray before we take a look at this passage. God, as we come before you, we recognize that you come to us as a father for all. You care deeply for us. You wrap your arms around us and model for us what it means to be whole, and let us know that we always have someone we can look up to. Be with us this morning as we look at this passage and consider the topic of Father's Day. Amen. We all need someone to look up to. Someone that we can model our life after. Someone we say, I want to be like that. We're not always aware of it, but the advertising agencies are. They get into our head and they figure out who it is that we look up to, whether that's the sports people or the people in the entertainment industry or the politicians. Sorry, that was a joke. And they go to these people with a pail full of money, and they get them to wear their clothes and drive their cars and drink their beer. And then we look out there at these people that we look up to and says, I want to be like them. All of this subconscious, of course. And we run out there and buy all the stuff, and the people make a truckload of money. So they're working on the fact that we need to have people that we look up to. Well, as you've heard 43 times today, it's Father's Day. And this is a day that we traditionally tell our fathers that we look up to them and we say, thank you, Father, for being understanding, kind, supportive, warm, gentle, strong, encouraging. And there's about 47 more adjectives we tuck into the card and we give it to them and it's wonderful. And the fathers wince. And so do we when we think about it. There's a few struggles that we have with Father's Day, and I need you to stay with me till we're done, okay? We really will get to Happy Father's Day at the end in case it feels a little bumpy in between here and there. So there's a bit of a struggle that we have as fathers because we listen to all this wonderful stuff and we kind of wince because we know we're not living up to all that. And there's also a bit of a problem on the other end, and that is of children. Now, there's a couple of obvious problems. One of them is fewer and fewer people have fathers in the traditional sense. Single parent families, death, divorce, workaholic dads, whatever, all leads to single parent families, right? Thank goodness there are people around to step in as surrogates, uncles and grandpas and big brothers and other people who stand in and function as a father, so we're really grateful for that. Perhaps a bigger problem is that not all fathers act the way our father's cards say they do. I mean, they're not quite Homer Simpson, but some fathers are less kind than they might be, less thoughtful, less encouraging. Some of them, their morals and their values are questionable, and you can go on, you can fill in the gaps. There's a whole lot of things that aren't quite right. There's a point in all of our lives as we were growing up where we realized that our dad wasn't what we thought he was when we made them ties like this. Is that cool or what? And that those times, it comes along with matching t-shirts, two of them, one from each of my daughters, and they are part of my treasure. The daughters, but also the t-shirts. So there's a point in our life where we realize that our fathers aren't perfect. And as we get a little older, some of us, and I was in that set, look at our fathers as being completely irrelevant and not our role models at all. We're looking at other people, people who are playing in FIFA right now, for instance. We look at our dads, they're getting a little thinner on the top and a little more rotund around here, and they drive minivans, for goodness sakes. And they have boring jobs, and they don't understand about technology, and they've got a Commodore 64 stuck away in their closet somewhere. If you don't know what that is, talk to somebody my age and they'll explain it to you. And they're seeming to be kind of out of touch. I remember when I was in high school, my father was the custodian. It was not a happy moment to encounter him in the hallway when I'm with my friends. You kind of hope that, you know, you kind of figure out where he was and where you had to go to class and try to take the long way around. Not a proud moment for me now. For some people this extends, not only was their dad hit a point when we're typically in our teens where he's irrelevant, some people go on in life to blame their fathers for all the struggles they have. They blame their fathers for their struggles connecting with people, with their abuse issues, with their finance issues, with anger issues. Whatever we have, we blame that on our fathers and say, it's not my fault, look how I was raised. And there may well be an element of truth to that. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought. We want to go to the other person in this Father's Day scenario, which is the fathers. The fathers, this isn't the Happy Father's Day part yet. Fathers also struggle. As I mentioned earlier, very often Father's Day is a hard time because we look at all the amazing things that are said about us, and we're not that. A number of years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was speaking at a father-son retreat. It was for a boys' club. The boys were grade 2 to 6 thereabout. We had a wonderful weekend. We called it Relationships, Under Construction. And the first evening they came, we gave every boy a hammer. Every once in a while you hit it right, and we did that time. It was like I'd given them a bag of gold. They slept with their hammers. It was great. And we made sure all of our activities that weekend had to do with hammers. So boys having an attention span of about 3.5 minutes, we would have sessions with the fathers and sons for 3.5 minutes, send the boys off to do something with their hammers, collect bugs or something, and we would I would talk to the dads about life. And I remember in one session, I was talking with them, and in the middle of saying something, it dawned on me what I was saying. Now, it wasn't that I hadn't planned, it just hadn't connected until that point. What I said to the fathers was, you are your son's role model. You're the one they look at to know how to grow up. I mean, these kids are young, right? I said, if you want to know what you're telling your children to be, look in the mirror. Now, when I said that, it just kind of ran cold through me, and I stopped and I said, no. No, 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 no. I want more for my children than what I see in the mirror. I know my struggles. I know the things I go through in my life. I want them to have a better life. I want them to be better people than that. Those of you who aren't dads may not know about this, but as dads, this kind of stuff keeps us awake at night. We lay in bed and we think about the things we've said and we've done that we shouldn't have said and done in front of our kids. And we think about the things we haven't said and haven't done that we should have said and done that we didn't. And it makes us toss and turn in bed. It really does. It's an interesting story in 2 Samuel. Well, let me hook it to something larger. In 2011, I went to a Refreshing Winds conference here at CMU, Canadian Mennonite University. Ryan McLaren was the speaker, and Steve Bell, our neighbor just around the corner here on Devon, was singing. And he sang a song from his upcoming, at that time, album called Kindness. And the song is called Absalom, Absalom. If any of you have heard it, especially if you're a dad, you will not forget that song. The song is built on the story from 2 Samuel, and the story is about David and his son Absalom. Now, Absalom is planning a coup. He's going to take over from his dad, kill his dad, take over the kingdom. David hears about this, doesn't want the kingdom to be taken over, but doesn't want to hurt his son. So his son is, this is all going on. His son in the story is riding along under an oak tree. He's got all this big curly hair. It gets caught in a tree. He's on a donkey. The donkey takes off, and he's there hanging in a tree. It's one of my personal fears, getting my hair caught in a tree. So while he's hanging in the tree, this commander of the army, Joab, comes along and runs a spear through him, and he dies against David's wish. So the song comes in at the point where David is looking at his son's grave, and he's thinking back about the father that he's been. And in the song he says the words, you know, we always think of David as a man after God's own heart. That's how the Bible describes him. Indiscretion, yeah, read Psalm 51, all patched up, all taken care of, right? On he goes, everything's fine. But in the song he says, and he's talking to his deceased son, you watched me take a good man's wife and then to plan for the murder to cover it up. The arrogance and vanity and greed that you experienced were mine. Well, that one sits heavy, thinking about how our children watch us, not just listen to what we tell them, but watch us in our life. And so when it comes to Father's Day, sometimes it's a little tough because we know who we are and we know our feet of clay. Okay. Back to the children. Remember where we were? Not everybody has a father. Fathers aren't always good. Sometimes we don't think our father's in touch. Sometimes we blame our father for everything. That's where we were before. Okay, picking up there. As we grow and mature, and hopefully these are things that we pick up within the context of the church, we begin to realize that, in fact, our fathers aren't and can't be perfect. We begin to realize that everyone has feet of clay. And so we take a look at our fathers and we recognize that underneath, most fathers actually really love us. And they've had mistakes, and they've made all sorts of mistakes and had problems, and they had their issues. But underneath, they loved us. And beyond that, they tried. They tried to do the right thing. They tried to lead us as best they could. They tried to help us to become more than they were. When I was about 10, I collected models. There wasn't a lot of money around, so I got about one a year, and very carefully put these together and paint them and put them on a shelf and dust them, and those of you who know I'm OCD would believe that. And that's so one day I come into the room that I shared with my brother, my older brother, and one of my models was smashed. And I said to my brother, in words maybe a little more volume than this, "Did you wreck my model?" And he said, "No, Dad did." So I went and I said things to my father that I probably shouldn't have, and was really angry at him. And why did you do this? And if you did it, why couldn't you at least come and tell me? And to my recollection, my dad didn't say anything. And a few days later, there was a model there for me to build. Now, there wasn't extra money in the house. I don't know where he found the money for that. Maybe he didn't eat breakfast for a few days or something. But there was a model. Years later, my brother fessed up. "I wrecked your model," he said. My dad went, without saying anything, bought me one to try and make it right, to try and fix the problem, to try and fill in a hole that was there. And it's a small thing. It was a model, right? It was a huge thing. And when I found out about that, wow, I had a good talk with my dad after that. Fathers aren't perfect. They try their best to make right. And fathers also have a place where they look for an example. It's other people, to be sure, but also they recognize God as their father. And that's where they go for direction and encouragement and forgiveness and all sorts of other things. And they pass that on to us. Not only trying to love us and doing the right thing, but they also try to pass on to us a love for God. Another thing that happens in this process is that we learn from our fathers probably as much about how to make things right as them being right. Do you know what I mean? We learn from our fathers. When our fathers make mistakes, hopefully, they make it right. They apologize. They try and straighten things out. They put things back together and they go on with life. And we learn from our fathers, not just from their good example, but from their mistakes, about how we also go through life, and when we mess up, how we deal with that. And so when it comes to Father's Day, we can truly say, Happy Father's Day. Not for being perfect, but for loving us, for doing your best, for wishing more for us than you wish for yourselves, for teaching us how to make right when we mess up. One more thing. I mentioned that some people blame their fathers for what goes all the mistakes in their life. Part of growing up is recognizing that we have to own our own lives. It may be that our fathers contributed to the mistakes and the struggles that we have. But somewhere along the way, we have to let go. Now, we have to forgive our dads. And the way we do that isn't by saying it doesn't matter. We may well, if our fathers are there, need to sit down and say to them, this is what happened. And regardless of the outcome, we let go of it. Because we are accountable for our lives and they are for theirs. Now, here's an interesting thing that happens. When we finally forgive our dad for ruining our lives, we recognize that behind that cloud that's been covering us is our dad. And we see things that we never saw before. We see his good points, his struggles, his attempt to follow the way of God, all those things. And so, on Father's Day, we can truly say, Happy Father's Day for the way that you have led us. Back to the dads. Where were we? Yes, we said that the dads struggled because they were less than perfect. Well, there's a couple things that we learn as dads. We learn that, first of all, we need to fix mistakes. When we have said or done things inappropriately, we need to fess up. And it's important that our children see that. It's important that our children see that we own the mistakes that we've made and we deal with it the best we can. I mean, we need to use some discretion in that, of course. They also need to see that we're trying to start again. That we need to fix things up. If we have been treating other people inappropriately, if our morals or values have been lacking, if we have treated our children's spouse or mother not the way we should, we need to fix that, okay? So we're never finished working on ourselves. But there's one other thing that's really important for us as dads to do. And that is, somewhere along the way, we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And this is why. When we don't forgive ourselves, we keep on putting ourselves down. We don't experience what God has for us. And we think less of ourselves than we should. Is that what we want for our children? No. We want our children to be honest, but to have a good sense of self. We want them to be proud of who they are. And so we need to model that for them. And so we stand up and say, I have made my share of mistakes and a few more. But God has forgiven me. And so I have forgiven myself so that I can continue to walk ahead with my head held high as a child of God. And the other thing we do is we continue to say to our children, I will do my best, but I just want you to know that the real is there. It's God. Which brings us to the passage that Elizabeth was reading. We'd love to spend about a half an hour exegeting it. Today, I just want to pull out three words from that passage. Three words that the passage identifies what it is, the perfect father. This is God as father. There's three words that really pop out for me in there. The first one is love. You find the word in verse 4 and 8 and 11 and 17. And the concept of love here, or loving kindness, is chesed in Hebrew. The concept here is of a love larger than we can imagine. As far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how big it is. And it's eternal. In terms of time, it's huge as well. And so we have a picture of God's love which just blows us away. It's always there, always connecting with us. Reminds me of the woman at the well. Her experience with men was always that they wanted something from her, and Jesus comes along with a love that gives something back. Does she deserve it? No. Is it there for her? Absolutely. And so we take a look at God as one who loves us unconditionally, always. The second word is forgiveness. It's in verse 3 and 12, I think. And the concept of forgiveness is the stuff that's gotten up in the way of our relationship with God, just like I talked about being angry at our fathers. Forgiveness pulls that out of the way. So once again, we can be back in relationship with God. And God says, I love you too much for garbage to stand in the way. Whatever has happened, I'm going to forgive it, forgive it, forgive it. Even before you start, forgiveness is on the table. Because my relationship with you is so important. And again, we see that mirrored in our fathers. And the final word is compassion. Three times it's used in the passage, 4, 8, and 12 or 13. And the concept of compassion is God understanding us from the inside. I think of the prodigal son when I see that term. The father, the son comes up all calculated. Okay, what am I going to say to my dad? I'm not worth this, and if you'd hire me, blah, blah, blah. And he comes up the driveway, and the dad says, nuts on that. You've been through stuff. I'm your dad. Forgiveness, let's get it out of the way. I understand. Come on in. It's time for a party. And that's God bringing us love, forgiveness, and compassion to embrace us in a way that we are always there. So on Father's Day, we come to our fathers and say, thank you for mirroring that to the best of your ability. And we say to God, thank you for the God that you have been. There are a couple of things in my little earthly treasure trove that I hang on to tightly. This is one of them. When my father died 2.5 years ago, we divvied up a few things to remember Dad by, and the sports coat was hanging in his closet. And so I took it. My dad, as I got older, as he got older, he became more and more special to me. He was a person of deep faith, person with a great sense of humor, a person who didn't judge people, always had room. Come on in. He would bring home, as I was growing out, at that time it was embarrassing, he would bring home the most unlikely people for supper, you know, salesmen and people who were marginal in the community and whatever. And as I grew, I began to respect him more and more. And he passed away about 2.5 years ago. And you know, now if I met him in the hall at school, I wouldn't mind being associated with him. He was quite a role model. Another one is, as I mentioned earlier, this tie and the corresponding two t-shirts. They were from my children. That was about 25 years ago. I look at those sometimes. What does this one say? Happy Father's Day, Daddy. And they were given to me with a lot of joy. And the t-shirts, I should have brought them. Carol told me they kind of needed ironing, so I didn't bring them. I'll bring them next year. And the other one is another t-shirt that was made several years before that. That my children were too young to write, and so Carol wrote Happy Father's Day, wrote their names, and they took their little hands and paint and stamped them on that t-shirt. And after I've let go of everything else, including my tools, and they're important to me too, I'll hang on to those because they remind me that somebody looked to me as a father and I want to look up to them. My prayer has been answered. I said earlier as I talked about that father-son retreat that my wish that would be that my children become more than I. And they have. Partly that's due to an amazing mother, but not in terms of career or finances, that too, but in terms of the quality of their character. I'm so fortunate to have the most amazing children ever. So, today on Father's Day, when you see your father or you're thinking your father's, he's passed away, say Happy Father's Day, look him in the eye and mean it. And for those of us who are fathers, when we hear those words, smile and swallow and know that they mean it and that they love you and say thanks. Amen.
Thanks for that message, Gary. So can you turn with me in the blue hymnal to song 78? This hopefully is familiar to some of you. Father God, you are holy. We are going to sing it in English. We are not going to attempt the native language that it's written in. And we're going to sing it through twice. The first time I will sing it first, and then you will join me on the repeats. And the second time we'll sing it through with the repeats all together. And we're going to do it a cappella.
Father God, you are holy, you're the first one, hey, hey. Father God, you are holy, you're the first one, hey, hey. Let your love come on down and touch your children here on earth, be with us, hey, hey. Let your love come on down and touch your children here on earth, be with us, hey, hey. Jesus, we call you, watch over us, hey. Jesus, we call you, watch over us, hey, hey. Father God, you are holy, you're the first one, hey, hey. Father God, you are holy, you're the first one, hey. Jesus, we come.
I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction and to stay standing for the closing song if you're able. And now, may your Heavenly Father bless you and keep you. May your Heavenly Father make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May your Heavenly Father turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Please turn to 429 in the blue hymnal, and I've asked Janet to help me because we are going to attempt to sing it in a round. So what we'll do first is sing it through once all together, and then we'll sing it in a round, and Janet will lead group one. So that will be this side. We'll follow Janet, and then group two will be this side, and you'll follow me.